This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
And as your luck would have it, we are back for, it's kind of like a third segment, but it's not going to be an hour, I'm pretty sure.
But an extension of the rest of the segments right. that we should pull over all night.
It's a very fluid show. Very you loose, said that earlier, yeah. Very loose meat show. Oh, speaking of loose meat.
Yes, I am. Going to talk about Roseanne because I don't want to.
No, she's. Fuck her. I don't know if anybody else gave a shit. But the premiere of the new season of Roseanne starts tonight. I recorded. I have to see what happens. So it'll be interesting to see.
I don't know that I do have to see what happens.
Well, I want to.
The more she promotes it, and I have it at the top of my list, the more she promotes it, the less I want to watch it.
Well.
Like, I'm just not intrigued by. And I just read the whole explanation of why she was a Trump voter and all that stuff. And
right, we'll get to that in a second. Anyway, you got other stuff to talk about. Entertainment. It's Al Perkins, and hopefully he'll make something up.
We had to get through all the music first.
Yeah, you have to write the whole thing out.
The whole thing out. So, yeah, so that's going on. And, you know, there's the whole thing of, like, they're from the Midwest, and they're from a state that voted for Trump, so why wouldn't they have bought into the same thing? And I guess the sister... Jackie,
uh-huh. Yeah, Jackie
is going to turn out to be a Jill Stein voter.
Oh Lord! Of course, Jackie would vote for Jill Stein.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, this is a show that I mean, it's one of those shows I never found all that funny until Darlene got shitty. Like when she got depressed and started wearing black, yeah. Then I found the show kind of funny because they kind of all went nasty with her. But other than that,
I didn't like it later. I liked it. Fluffier and feel goodier.
Yeah, I just, it's like poverty, not funny.
Once they all left the factory, I was like, eh,
I always found it funny.
Yeah, that's one of those shows that I put in the bad 80s. Like, I'm like, I just.
And I wonder if that's because, excuse me, I'm eating whatever the hell this
Nutella
is. It's like Nutella.
Sounds delicious.
Lovely. And maybe, I wonder about things like that because though you and I have a lot of similarities in things that we like, for example, we both. I was in love with Donna Summer long before I ever met you, and then realized that somebody else loved her more than I do.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there are things like, for example, I found Roseanne funny, but I was also from the Midwest, though they aren't exactly Midwest, but it was a low-income house. They were struggling with daily stuff, blah, blah, blah. And maybe just because you're more East, and maybe it's because you're just a little older than I am, too, by a few years. I don't know if that's just a disconnect. Because there are things that you find funny that I don't, but then...
Yeah, I mean, there's just something about that, her, like, I like her, like, I thought her sense of humor, like, when she was a stand-up comic was funny, but then when you just put it out, I'm like, meh, there's nothing, and I already lived out here. By the time that show came on, I already lived out here and was on my
own. But you didn't grow up in a scenario like that.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah, I mean, we grew up, I mean, money tight, and the extended family with supporting the grandparents and my uncle, because the factories were all closed, and, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm wrong.
Everybody supporting the whole guy, everybody we were related to. I mean, not my cousins in Rochester and stuff like that, but like people like really struggling for like a buck and to like keep two and three households alive. Like I remember like my father and his brother and their family, everybody trying to keep my grandparents afloat, and the third brother who was laid off and a drunk and like trying to keep him like alive and off the streets and like definitely the factories closing in Niagara Falls. I mean, my father worked for Nabisco, my uncle worked for one worked for Kodak. That's the one that moved to Rochester. And the other one was a paper company that I can't remember. I can't remember what it was called, but it was paper. And, so, I mean, it was the blue collar thing is definitely like how I was raised. But there was just something about that show that just always kind of like, I mean, not good, bad, or anything. I always just watched it and was like, I don't get this. Like, they're not, like, I was more a Cheers person. Like,
sure.
I want to work a little harder.
And I love Cheers. Yeah. I completely love Cheers.
Like, I like a double entendre and everybody kind of, like, picking on each other. So that's when Roseanne got a little bit meaner and Darlene, Darlene
yeah.
got a little nasty and started wearing black and they started, like, just saying horrible things to each other. And I'm like, I got you now. Like, now you're all a family. Right. That whole, like, we're just fat and we sit around wearing flannel and, like, that is like, I don't get it.
I feel like all of my Roseanne viewing was involuntary. Like, it was... No. It was in a time period in, like, television watching and in my family, like... There was one TV, and you watched what mom was watching.
Oh,
if you were going to watch TV.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it was before there was a TV in the basement. It was before, We had any kind of control. And so my mother loves a family sitcom, like still does.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Loves a family sitcom. So any family sitcom that premiered any time between 1981 and 1994, it was forced viewing.
Right, that's fair.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I feel like Roseanne kind of fell into that because it's along the lines in about the same time as The Cosby Show. Like that was a regular weekly event.
Right.
The Roseanne Show was a regular weekly event. So I don't know. Like I feel kind of blech.
Yeah,
about the whole experience.
And I had already left the house, but like Designing Women and Murphy Brown, like that kind of thing was much more my.
And I loved those
speed, yeah.
Other ones. Yeah, the ones I loved.
Yeah, and it was just a different take on like I need people to be a little bit snarkier, like just work a little bit harder at being nasty, like. But now I love the middle. Like strangely enough, like the show that's the most like Roseanne now is The Middle.
Oh yeah,
and I find that
I've never
show,
seen it.
I think that show is so funny of the way they do everything on like $5.
Sure.
And the fact that like everything is broken in their house.
Mm.
I mean, in our house, nothing was broken because my father would find a
way to
fix it.
Now, I confuse that because The Middle is not something different of Malcolm in the Middle, is it?
No.
Okay.
The Middle is just about a show in Indiana. It's just Midwest people with Midwest values that like
got it.
Can't quite get their shit together. And it's just very funny because it is Roseanne like.
Today.
Just saying, like, okay, everyone else says they're doing really well, but here's what's happening in the middle. Like, here's
right.
what you're missing.
But we're the regular people.
We're the regular people.
Your flyover states, if you will.
Yeah. Oh no, and that's what they call it, the middle. And so
I caught that. I wasn't there. I caught it now. Yeah.
It's the same kind of humor, but for some reason now I'm kind of amused by it, and it really is very Roseanne-ish. Like it's all around a couch and crotchety old people and people just being shitty to each other. They're just not fat. I guess that's the difference.
Interesting.
Like no one on the show.
I'm going to assume that you probably also, and if you've ever even seen it, like when the Reba show was on, like when she was doing her Reba, so like she was a divorced mom with kids and the one kid was the son-in-law.
Oh, there was a couple minutes where I watched Friday Night TV.
I think there's humor in that too. But I like her.
But hey, he's doing a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial now, so.
She is Reba McEntire.
Doesn't say Reba McEntire for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Just has that same actor pushing chicken. Nowhere does it say this is Ruby.
There are no hair dryers in that chicken that commercial either, by the way.
Interesting.
Because it's a man. that's about it. And Love, Simon came out. I have not had a chance to see it. I'm hoping to see it tomorrow, Thursday morning. But it's by Greg Berlinati, or however you say his last name, Berlinat. Berlinati, who does like every great show, including Hannibal. And he did many, many years ago my one of the best gay movies ever, The Broken Hearts Club, the gay softball team. Just a charmer of a fucking movie, if you've never had a chance. And that was his big break into Hollywood, was he made one of the first all-gay movies ever made. Like, not made about drag queens or stereotypes or anything. It was just about a bunch of gay friends that had a softball team. And if you haven't had a chance to see it, it's absolutely lovely and fun. And then he's done Hannibal, he's on every goddamn show. I think he's the Arrow now, he's the Flash, he's Supergirl.
Yes.
Hannibal,
Legends of Tomorrow, Green Lantern.
He's Pushing Up Daisies, every show.
Really?
Yeah, he did right Pushing on. Up Daisies. And now he's this Love, Simon. And it was you that brought it to us, our attention last year. As a movie you were looking for.
Oh, that it wasn't Love, Simon. It was
That was one of the two that you mentioned.
Summer
movie.
Summer something.
Something like Summer.
Something, yeah. And I still haven't seen that.
Because it hasn't come out. Well, then, we're still waiting.
I thought it was out at the time.
It is, but in very, 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 very limited release. Okay. So we're waiting for someone to pick it up on video.
So I need to see Love, Simon, Something Like Summer. I've never seen Broken Hearts Club.
Oh, I have it at home on video. I'll loan it to anybody. It's one of the sweetest movies ever made. And it's where we get Zach Braff from, in case you didn't know. That was his introduction to Hollywood, as he was the twink. He's the young guy. And he's got a new series that looks cute coming up.
Does he?
Adam Incorporated or something like that.
Oh.
So that's really about it. Oh, wait. I saw Only the Brave on the airplane about the Granite Mountain Hotshots.
Oh, from here?
Payson, Prescott, wherever they were. Terrific movie. Cannot recommend it enough. It was very, very good.
Really?
And I forgot the important part and why I was remembering the story is because Josh Brolin is playing you. He looks like you. He dresses like you. Cousins. Identical cousins.
They're two of a kind.
Oh my god, I was laughing like the whole movie. I'm like, that's just Clayton McKee as a firefighter.
Oh my gosh.
He even has your glasses. It was a little creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah, so I mean, a great, it's really, really well done. And it's not just a sad story about a bunch of guys that die in a fire. It's kind of the triumphant story about how they became the first municipal firefighters that became hotshots and all the things they went through to become hotshots. And the kid that the kid that survived has a
cameo.
But he's got his story and how he got there that kind of comes through Phoenix.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I forgot about that part of that story. But it's really well, it's a very well done movie.
Right on.
And then I watched about the first third of Stronger with Jake Gyllenhaal about the Boston Marathon survivor.
Oh, yeah.
That's really terrific.
All right.
I mean, I only made it a little bit of the way through.
Okay. Hmm.
But since I'd finished a couple of movies I had at home on DVD. From the people, you know, I'm still one of the people that gets Netflix shipped to me.
Right.
A couple of things were on the planes, so I watched them so I could ship those movies back, and I got stronger because they cut it off.
Oh, okay.
And I watched my first horror movie on a plane.
How'd that go?
I was scared.
Even while on a plane, knowing nothing could get to
That's how completely I...
How did you survive not having a coffee table to sit upon?
I leaned up and got it.
And having your great TV to be able to view it on.
So I have to tell you, like, I watched Wonder again, my favorite movie of last year with Julia Roberts.
Uh-huh. And Owen Wilson.
Oh, my God.
Still hands down my favorite movie of last year.
Really?
It's wonderful. Sobbed like a little girl.
I read the book.
Oh,
yeah.
That's rough.
Oh, yeah.
Saw The Brave.
To my children.
Saw Only the Brave. Cried through that. Then I watched Happy Death Day, which I saw in the theaters. Got a couple jumps.
Yeah.
Probably disturbed the person behind me. Maybe the person in front of me.
They'll be fine.
They'll live, yes.
Yeah, but did they die?
And then I watched It.
But oh, did no. you die?
I watched It on the airplane. Oh, my God. I so fell through the hole on that one. That movie is so good. I had the headphones on. I was glued into the screen. The captain came in to tell us about what fucking height we were flying at. Like, I'm flying the goddamn plane.
Like, I'm going to measure it.
Right.
Like, you scared.
We're currently cruising at 35,000 feet. What if we're not? I wouldn't know. How would I know?
Because all of a sudden it's this creepy part with all these clowns, and all of a sudden we're cruising along, and I'm like,
Breaker 19, we are flying at 40 billion feet. And you're like...
I like how you took Convoy onto a plane.
Exactly. We did.
Yeah.
Planes, trains, automobiles.
The one cruise I was on, they played Titanic as the midnight movie. So they're like, well, we can't think of a worse movie, so we're going to play this one.
That's funny.
Because Jenny said it wasn't the one where the monster bites them.
The emoji movie wasn't available?
I'm sure it was. I mean, they're not kidding. If you fly transatlantic on American, when they tell you they got a lot of movies, they got a lot of movies.
Right
like
on.
When their classic section is legitimate classics. They are not kidding. Like they have All About Eve and Sunset Boulevard and It Happened One Night. Like
good for them.
They've got like 30s and 40s black and white classics. Like they were not bullshitting. I think they had North by Northwest on this one. It was legit.
That's so funny.
That's it for entertainment. I'm just making shit up.
Well, no,
okay, let's go over to Cat Carlson Entertainment. All right, Cat Carlson. I have a couple of things.
Okay, we'll probably spar off of this, Al. Get ready.
First of all, Shonda Rhimes is a witch.
And oh, she
under
is.
Her
She's
fucking
a witch.
Spell. Number one.
Oh.
Number one. She brought back to life Kit fucking DeLuca.
Oh, I did see your post.
Did you see my post?
I did see your post about this.
So I'm watching Grey's Anatomy like I do every week because I'm under the Shonda Rhimes spell. And I'm watching along, and this woman, like, laying in the bed with whatever horrible injury. I'm like, why does she look familiar? Who is that? And then I literally jumped up off my couch. I was like, oh, my God, that's Kit DeLuca from Pretty Woman, of course.
Right.
The best friend, right.
Which I have to tell you, I had to Google because when you post that because I'm like...
I put the picture.
I know, but I'm like, she spelled Kat DeLuca wrong.
No.
Because I'm thinking
totally
the singer...
No.
No, but I didn't realize there was a Kit DeLuca in existence.
We think you got a lot of potential, Kit DeLuca.
$100, the wife can watch.
No idea who these people are.
Never take less than 100. Take care of you.
No kissing on the mouth. I mean, I got all the rules down.
Right. So they brought her back to life, made her an astronaut, then made her crazy, then killed her. Full circle. Spoiler alert, that's what happened.
And you know, the crazy astronaut is my favorite news story of all time.
Right. Right.
Oh, right.
The one she wore a diaper. She wore a Depends
right,
across
to drive
country.
Across country to right. go to Houston to kill somebody.
She's still my
so
hero.
Good. So then, Shonda goes and writes another goddamn show that I have to watch every freaking week called For the People. It's about young lawyers that are saving the world in New York or some court. I don't fucking care.
It's the modern day LA Law.
I don't. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're in.
Yeah, I'm in. She sucked me right in. So there it is. That's my TV for the fall. And then, so we do the show tunes and I play them. I play them basically for one guy now, real late on a Thursday.
I'll be there this Thursday.
All right. It's me and one other guy.
I can't be there.
Two guys.
That's okay.
Okay.
All right, so this week it'll be me and two guys, but it's usually me and one guy. And, you know, he comes in real late, and we chat show tunes or whatever, just catch up on life, and, you know, we
cheating
become
on me.
Friends.
I understand.
You don't come by, you don't You're visit, you don't call, you go to Europe, whatever. At any event, so
it's
he
not
had
you, it's me.
He had seen The King and I that was just in town.
Dun, 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 dun,
right.
Dun,
dun. 1, 2, 3, end. And so he said to me, he says, I don't want to spoil it, but I want to know your take on it. I haven't seen him since to tell him. But he says, I feel like I was the only one that picked up on the uncomfortableness of the white is right storyline. Like, this whole storyline in The King and I of trying to be more like the Western world. And mm-hmm. he's like, oh my God, I was so uncomfortable, but I was surrounded by all of these white people from Mesa and Scottsdale, who are the people that go to see shows in Gamage. And he said, nobody else, like, seemed uncomfortable and... You know what I mean? There was
because they're already white.
There was apparently a joke about a wall that got a big laugh. I think it got a smaller laugh at my showing. You know, something about build a wall around the country of Siam.
About Siam, yeah.
And so I went to go see it on Sunday, kind of with this in the back of my mind, like, all right, I'm going to watch for this and see. And the thing that I came away, and I haven't told him yet, and I'm very excited to do so, is that I cared way less about the race politics and way more about the gender politics. I am officially tired of the storyline of the strong, intelligent, capable woman who has to convince the poor, ineffective, incapable man of the right thing to do. I'm over the storyline. It has to go. I'm done. Like, that was all that kept hitting me in the face is, why is she fucking wasting her time? Get back on the boat and go to goddamn England.
Walk away, bitch.
Get out. Get right. out.
The subjugation of women comes across way harder than any race thing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, but in the midst of all this...
In the midst of all of this, and Shall We Dance captures me every time.
And three or four of the most beautiful songs ever written for American theater. Like, there are... And I always say, The King and I should just be done as a concert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the March of the Siamese Children. I don't need
It was short. There were only, like, 8 children.
Right, because it was on tour.
Yeah. No.
Oh, God, community theater, that number goes on for 20 years. it's a puzzlement. I don't need it.
Yeah.
Whatever the two fucking kids sing in the end of the first act,
right?
Gone.
Yeah.
But I personally feel that because it's about oppression, sort of, a little bit, the We Kiss in a Shadow and I Have Dreamed are very coming out gay songs. I've always said that.
Oh, okay,
like,
sure.
I have dreamed that your arms are lovely. I have dreamed and enjoyed the view. And in these dreams, I feel that, you know...
Right.
That your arms are lovely.
The forbidden love.
The forbidden love, yeah. It really is. And we kiss in a shadow. We hide from the moon. Like, it's very, like gay coming out. Like, whoa, if they could only kiss in the sunlight and say to the sky, behold how my lover loves me. Like, the lyrics in that show are just bafflingly gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of it, you have this awful fucking show. Another one, like, How to Succeed in Business that I've been in. And I was like, this was terrible.
Yeah, I ended up just like, and very quickly being like, bitch, get out of there. Get on the boat.
But
go back to England.
But you're drawn in by
the beautiful music.
The beautiful music. And the orchestrations in that show, it's not South Pacific good. Let's settle down. It's not at that level of loveliness, but it's pretty fucking close. Something Wonderful is just written for three sopranos. Yeah. Just beautiful. It's one of the... Oh, it's just a beautiful show. But you really have to, like, be a lot like, okay, just don't watch that part. Oh, no, they're slaves. Oh, let's not watch that part.
That's maybe a little less of that. Yeah. I feel like I'm 100% done with that. Because that storyline shows up again and again and again and again.
And you're always in danger of a white guy coming up with, like, Mickey Rooney makeup.
Right.
Like, you just know that you're just seconds away from some white kid from Paramus, New Jersey.
No, it was a very ethnically appropriate cast.
Yeah. But you know that's on the verge of going wrong, that somebody's going to call in sick one day and you're going to be like, oh my God, we have to put Susie on. And it's wrong in two ways. First, her name and then her ethnicity.
I think my road to here began with Annie, Get Your Gun.
Mm. cruise ship quality.
Right. Like, watch that, and I was mad as hell. I'm like, wait, are you telling me that the moral of this story is to let him win so he'll love you? Fuck him!
Fuck
him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck him! And I've just been angry about this entire genre ever since. I'm done.
I saw Bernadette Peters, maybe, and Annie Get Your Gun on Broadway.
Did you?
And halfway through, I actually said the word, this is cruise ship quality. Like, it was such a stick of margarine in a world of butter. It was such shit. But there's a couple of really good songs in it.
Right.
But the rest of the time, you're like, I'm offended for Native Americans. I'm offended for women.
Oh my God,
for people in general.
We just need the mixtape. We just need the highlight reel at this point.
Like, there's a couple shows out there that they like, because at least South Pacific talks about racism. Like, South Pacific is about racism, but in the middle of it, there's this wonderful song of You Have to Be Carefully Taught, where they talk about, these fuckers are racists, and we got to do something about it. Like, at least in the middle, they stop and say something, where the king and I, they're like, nah, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, we're good.
There was a moment here, but we're just going to keep going. I played the white guy in the show, in my defense. Also, the only non-singing role in The King and I. There's only one. There's only one motherfucker on the stage that doesn't sing. That was
me. The captain of the ship, isn't it?
No, he's the one that teaches her how to waltz, Sir Edward.
Oh, yeah.
Her old boyfriend.
That's right. He doesn't sing.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, good job.
Yep, that was me. I auditioned for that show like 18 times.
And they finally let you do it, but not sing.
I don't really think I don't think we have a two things segment this week.
We probably don't,
because we're pulling things out everywhere, so it doesn't really matter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being led somewhere. What's going on?
No. I'm just trying to figure out. Are we just going right to thoughtful for now, or are we just going to spend the next 18 minutes talking about just more random shit? I just like to know what we're
doing. There's a lot of pistachios.
We gotta let the affiliates down the line know what we're talking about.
I say
we
go to thoughtful.
Let's do it. I'm in.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Okay, so is there a holiday or a theme, like a St. Patrick's Day or a Cinco de Mayo that you have absolutely no connection to? Like, is there some holiday theme day?
Ash Wednesday.
Okay.
I don't know. No. Finish your question, because maybe I don't understand.
That everybody makes a big deal about, but you're like, I don't know what, like, I don't, like, but it's got to be something big. Like, Ash Wednesday, nobody does anything, but the ashes on their head. But something where everybody does something that you're like, this does not resonate. Like, this doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, it's literally all of the drinking holidays. The Cinco de Mayo, the St. Patrick's Day, there's another one that I, even Halloween. I'm like, I'm done.
That's because we're tainted from working in the bar industry.
I think it really is. Because they all three ring as days that I try really hard dread. Not to have to
but
work.
But, I mean, did you ever do anything for St. Patrick's Day before you worked in a bar? Like, was it a day that you were like, ooh, can't wait for this?
I mean, when I was 22, I drank every night like that, so...
Right. And one day they made it better for you.
And one day it was cheaper and greener, I guess. Yeah, I feel like all of those are for sure... Like, I don't...
Like, are you missing New Year's Eve, like, memories, or is
Oh, my God, I haven't been off of it on a New Year's Eve. This year was the first year that I hadn't worked a New Year's Eve in 12 years. So I have only bar New Year's Eve memories. I have only bar
So there's a lot of holidays where you're
like, there's actually a lot of holidays that I'm really
detached
from.
You're spent looking around going, what are we doing?
I'm like, I don't... Why are we doing this? What? And luckily now I work in a place that doesn't, demand that we feed into it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, St. Patrick's Day came and went, and I was like, absolutely not. We're not doing green beer. We're not doing fucking Irish car bomb. We're not doing any of this shit. We're having a regular night, and God bless us if it's dead. That'd be even better. And weirdly, it was busy. Like, people showed up anyway. We did zero advertising. We had no drink special, and I was packed.
Because it's a night when people just drink.
Right, because people are just out looking for that, and I think, well, go to the block parties and... Like, if that's the theme that you want, go do that.
Right, okay.
But yeah, I would say every single one of those, for no reason, drinking holidays for sure, I have no personal attachment to.
Okay.
I think I'd have to go along with you. I don't really have any, other than working in the bars as long as, and that's always a recurring theme with us because we've all done it for so long. And I'm at the point, like I was saying to somebody just the other day, it was like, I just really couldn't care less about being here for when so many people are there and there's lines. Like, I'm not standing in a line.
But I mean, not that you don't like the holiday anymore, but is there something like you have no memory of it? Like, I know you used to dye your hair green and do something big for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
So you had a tradition. Like, it's not just that you don't like it, but is there some holiday that like just doesn't ring a bell? Like, there's like, I don't.
Well, my last name, I mean, there's some Irish descent, so there was a connection because I'm a Mick, McKee. So there was that, and it was for fun to do, and I used to do my hair green just to be kind of funny, but
at least you were involved, like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking for a holiday where like you're not involved, you don't care. Well, like,
oh, Easter, Ashmore's hands Day. Down,
I
Easter.
I don't care
about
Easter.
Or just something that just strikes you as like, what are we making of? Like, I don't like, not that you don't buy into it anymore, which is any holiday now because we're all old.
Right.
But there's that holiday of like, was this a big deal at some point? Like, did I miss a memo? Like,
you got Arbor Day, you got Mexican Independence Day. I mean, Cinco de Mayo, I mean, that's.
I mean, Cinco de Mayo wouldn't be an easy one for me because in New York, I never even heard of that.
Right.
So I came out here and I'm like, what are you doing?
You came out here.
It's not a real holiday. It's made up by the Corona company.
Right, exactly.
But at least people had memories. People had parties they went to. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Something you're just not connected to. Like, I agree with Easter. Like, a lot of any of the religious holidays I was never connected to. I mean, I think Christmas you get a pass with because it was just growing.
It's an American holiday.
Right. You're enthralled in it from advertisement and from everything else.
But when someone says Thanksgiving, like, we all buy in. We all know what we like. We all know what the meal is. We all know, like,
I love me some Thanksgiving.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a memory there that when someone says, like, or 4th of July, you're like, well, you know, we're going to watch fireworks. There's probably a picnic somewhere. But then somebody will say a holiday and you're like, oh, what? Like, I don't know what I'm going for here, but mine is Easter.
Hmm.
Like, there was one year that I kind of remembered looking for a Easter basket or something, and I remember no one ever going to my mom to sunrise service, but I don't have any memory of, like, a special meal or relatives coming over or doing something with my grandparents. And we did something with my grandparents every time, like, the Pope farted. Like, seriously, there was nothing that we missed out. And, like, my sister's like, oh, I miss you this time of year, especially. I'm like, Easter? Like, you have some memory of this day?
Did you still wear fabulous hats?
I don't know. And I remember my dad used to say if you didn't wear something new on Easter, the birds would shit on you. Like, my memories of Easter are very vague, but they have nothing to do with, like, doing something as a family, or it's not a day that I miss anybody. Like, I don't sit at home on Easter going, oh, it would be nice to be, like, to do, like, what did we do? What were we doing? What was the point of this?
President's Day, like, patio furniture is on sale.
Right.
Like,
so that's a really funny example because I was raised in, like, this religious void because my parents were of conflicting religions, and so they were like, well, we're going to let the kids figure it out themselves.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, whatever. So we would always have dinner with our family on Easter Sunday, but never, ever knew why. Like, didn't understand what Easter was outside of the Easter Bunny and never...
Right.
Like, I was in high school before I knew what Easter was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we always had dinner together with my grandparents and, you know, my aunts and uncles because everybody lived in the same city at that time. And, like, it was always a Sunday dinner.
Yeah.
But never any reason why. Like, oh, it's Easter. The end.
The end, yeah.
And we're so waspy, like, why would we ask a question? Oh, it's Easter.
Oh, that's nice.
There was an answer, and that's all you get, the end.
And the other one is really St. Patrick's Day. Like, I remember going home probably 10 years ago, 12 years ago, for St. Patrick's Day, and, like, everybody was making this big deal, and I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? The only thing I remember about St. Patrick's Day was my grandmother was saying if you wore orange, you were a traitor. Like, you just could not wear orange because orange is the color of the opposition party of the British or something. Orange has something to do with the British, and you were representing the Irish. And my grandmother was Irish.
Right.
That was it. I have no memory of, like, my parents having some... And my parents had a party for just about every occasion including days that ended up with Y. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember anybody going over the top for St. Patrick's Day. But also, the food is shitty. Like, I don't like cabbage. I don't like corned beef very much. I don't like the ham at Easter. I'm not a big fan of chocolate. So maybe it's just they need to up their food game.
It needs to be better food.
To make a memory. But I have no memory of these holidays. Like, there was such a big production made of St. Patrick's Day because it was last Saturday. And where were we going to go to a pub? And I'm like, why would we, like, do we need to? Is that something we have to do? Like, in a Catholic city, do we really want to go to a pub? And then sure enough, it was just shamrock to shamrock. Like, you're just crammed in with people sweating and watching shit and eating awful. I mean, pub food is delicious. I don't want to, I don't mean to malign the food. I will take that back. But it was just such a weird thing. Like, why are we cramped into the, like, what is it about your childhood and this holiday that means this is where we had to come tonight? Like, this is what we had to do. And I
had no desire to be part of the celebrations of this past St. Patrick's Day, but I posted just on Facebook that I was craving late in the day. I wasn't part of any other bullshit. Didn't even wear green. Didn't care. I just was craving a spicy Bloody Mary. And so about 45 minutes later, Bootsy, Daniel Ray, our friend, texts me and he goes, did you find that Bloody Mary? No, take that back. He said, are you day drinking somewhere? And I'm like, no, but I want a Bloody Mary. So we just went to Stacy's. Again, we don't give a shit about anything. We sat in a corner alone, and then people showed up that were already wasted from being out all day.
Right, right, right.
But we didn't care about the St. Patrick's Day. We just both like, well, God, a Bloody Mary sounds good.
Right, and but you've celebrated the tradition before. I've just never consciously woke up on
March
17th and been like, I've got to do something Irish. Like, it's never occurred to me.
Yeah, no, I don't care about that either.
I can commit suicide on my own time. I don't need a song
to
help me.
No, I don't care. And like I said, the only things I remember, like, for Easter was when we were all younger, my grandparents, it was great for my mom and her sisters to get all the kids together. We had a big house, big yard. They could hide Easter eggs everywhere. We all did that. It was all candy and, you know, being on a sugar coma.
Wait, we never did Easter.
We did that. Yeah. And then there was a meal only, and the meal was, obviously, all the family was together, and we all ate all the time. But for a religious reason, there was nothing.
And I'm not talking about, because Christmas is not about religion 90% of the time. It's about presents and, like,
and I don't care about
waking up early in the morning. But the Easter
Santa
thing,
Claus.
Like, I never went to an Easter egg hunt. Like, I have no working memory of this holiday being anything but, like, saying no to my mom, going to a sunrise service. Like, there's no meals, there's no, and my cousins came over constantly. The grandparents, everybody descended on our house to celebrate a Thursday in June. Like there was no excuse not to come to our house. So, the fact that there's, like, no, I'm like, and my sister calls me every year, oh, I miss you so much this day. I'm like, really? Because I think I slept through it. Or they just lost interest because I'm so much younger that they were over it and Easter somehow just got.
Oh, could have been that,
maybe.
Yeah, like, there's something
about
this Easter.
There are Easter memories. They forget that you weren't part of it.
Yeah, there's something about this Easter thing that I'm like, I do not understand what you're going for.
Most holidays, I don't really care about at all.
And as an adult, absolutely no.
Right.
I mean, I love me some 30 days of Thanksgiving because mama want turkey.
Right, sure. Which rolls into.
And I like a Christmas song here and there, and I like fireworks. So there's a couple of. There's a couple of holidays.
And you can get fireworks on New Year's Eve, too. So, I mean, you could even let go of the 4th.
It really is the perfect mixing of things. I mean, it's the holiday I like the most. I like New Year's Eve. I don't like the people, but I like, you know, saying goodbye to the old, hello to the new. That's just it. I was just curious, because, like, that's the St. Patrick's Day threw me, and then, like, now we're at Easter, and, like, I know I'm going to get a card for my sister in the next 2 days that says about how much she misses me this week, and I every year I'm like, Easter? Really? I don't get it.
And this year, Easter and April Fool's Day are on the same day.
And aren't we all the wiser for it?
Yeah, sure. So you never know. Is that a bunny jumping out, or are you going to get, you know?
And I love, I don't like English pub food. I like Irish pub food. There is a big difference. Because the English have never learned to cook anything in their lives. No. But the Irish at least found out about spices at some point.
Yeah, there's a.
True.
Well, thank you. Good night.
Good job. Good job.
Okay.
Good.
I wasn't sure if
good
there was,
talk.
Was
good
there a
talk.
Follow-up to that, but I think we're good. Don't you?
I feel good about it.
Oh, I'm done.
Okay, there's that.
We got to go watch Jeremy Jordan.
We're going to do that. Then I'm going to push you through Down Syndrome Girl. You're going to learn that one.
Oh, I know that song from her.
From who?
From Becky from Glee. Like, I went back and watched everything with her in it and about her.
Right, but... Never mind. We'll get there.
For the post-show meeting.
Everybody, thanks for being in the chat room. We're going to be the hell out. I guess we're coming back next week, too. Maybe Marty will join us. I don't know if her girlfriend's going to schedule a late in the afternoon doctor's appointment on the other side of the valley, but who knows? We'll figure it out. But, Kat, thank you for being here this week. Hey, my God, it's been great to see you. Al Perkins came all the way from Italy.
Good morning.
And I just came from my kitchen, which is on the other side of this wall.
Look at all the good you do.
Oh, very great. Any of you boys and girls, as we do each and every week, we will
see you next Tuesday.